on NBC. Let's all be there. Live from New York, it's Saturday Night.
Do you like the juice? Did you?
Okay. Saturday Night Drive, Ben, George, we talk about Saturday Night Live related movies.
Oh, yeah. And welcome to Saturday Night Drive.
When we run out of them, we watch episodes of the show. It's a very complicated, convoluted method by which we choose them.
Hey, tell you what. Listen to a couple episodes if you're unfamiliar with our podcast, and you'll get the fucking idea.
I guess we don't have to set it up every time. Like, here's what we do. Like, just fucking...
If this is someone's first episode, I do like to say, hey, welcome to Saturday Night Jive. We're kind of Saturday Night Live related.
But just the fact that we picked this episode of all possible episodes to watch, if you don't know why, it makes no sense.
Oh, no. Well, last week, we picked Gary Kroger's name out of a metaphorical hat now.
It used to be an actual hat. Now it's a spreadsheet.
It's just an imaginary hat, but I still call it the hat. So we picked Gary Kroger's name, and he's never been in any fucking movie. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, if we can find a movie, we'll watch a movie. But if we can't find a movie that works for the episode, we watch an episode of the show from the season from a season they were in.
Right.
And Gary Kroger was only in shitty seasons.
Gary Kroger was in three seasons of SNL, one being season 10, which we last covered with the Hulk Hogan and Mr. T episode, which I'll grant you, was a weird one.
This felt a lot like this, because the host was only in like three sketches.
Yeah, but he was good in them. Yeah, so this is the Christopher Reeve episode from season 10.
Which I gotta practice that. I always say Christopher Reeves, because I mix him up with George Reeves, who played Superman in the
right.
show.
Right, no, it's Christopher Reeve, singular. There's only one of them. Alright, so yeah, this is season 10, one of my favorite seasons. And
do you say that legitimately, that this is one of your favorite seasons?
Yes, I love this season. Well, one of the reasons I love this season is because it is just so, like, encapsulated. Like, if you were to say, like, oh, my favorite season is season 32. Oh, who's in that season? Oh, it's Bill Hader's fourth, and it's Daryl Hammond's seventh. You know, there's all this overlap. This one doesn't have it. This is the Martin Short season. This is the Billy Crystal season. This is the Christopher Guest season.
But you're
this is the only season they were on.
You're looking at it by casts. When I think of best season, I would probably think of it like, oh, it had this host, like these episodes, and the most good episodes would constitute the best season. Whereas, I mean, because you said this was your favorite episode of the season, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, okay, I'll just say right now, I did not hate this in the same way that I hated, certainly, the Mr. T Hulk Hogan episode.
That one had some crazy bad shit in it.
It's not bad in the same way that the fucking Malcolm McDowell episode, but it's not good. It is at best mediocre.
Oh, I got some big fucking kicks out of
there
this
There is one sketch that I legitimately loved.
There was three that I really loved. There was only one.
There were a couple that I liked, and then there a lot of them were just kind of like there.
Really? There was only like seven or eight sketches in this episode. It was very light. Because the Weekend Update was a little longer.
And I will say the Weekend Update, Christopher Guest, much better than fucking Charles Rocket.
Oh, yes. I was surprised that I liked the Christopher Guest update, because he stunk. But
yeah,
he was
actually
kind of good.
You set me up for that. You were like, oh, you've never seen a Christopher Guest one before. Like, it was going to be really bad. I thought he was fine. I mean, he wasn't great, but, I mean...
Yeah.
I wouldn't think of him as a bad Weekend Update guy from this episode.
Well, we'll save it for when we get to Weekend Update. But, I really, really enjoyed this episode. I think this episode is, like, solid from top to bottom. I think the cold open's good. I think the monologue, good, welcomes you to the show. And then every sketch was good. There's only one sketch that I, like, was meh on. But I was just meh on it. I didn't hate it.
See, this is probably as much as I can possibly like an episode from this era of the show. Because a lot of it is just, like this, we'll just start with the fucking opening sketch.
Yeah.
I have no frame of reference for this. This is obviously referencing something.
Yeah, this is AD 13 Part 5 is the title of this fake miniseries. I'm guessing it's a,
I mean, there's a fucking reference to the Killing Fields in it.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing it was like an NBC movie of the week that they were like parodying here. I have no frame of reference for it either. It's just kind of a sketch to showcase some impressions.
It's impressions of people I don't even know.
Oh, well... Yeah, okay, I guess if you don't know the people, then it doesn't work. But
and then Jim Belushi's the Pope at the end.
I didn't get that. But Christopher Guest does a great James Mason. That's funny. He keeps slapping the guy with the fish. I don't know what the fuck that's about.
See, but that's the thing. Like, I think if I had maybe been able to key into that, I would have been laughing more.
Yeah.
But well, it just seems weird to me in retrospect.
Yeah, you got Julia Louis-Dreyfus doing Joanne Worley from Laughing. You're not familiar with Joanne Worley?
No, not a big Laughing fan, surprisingly enough.
And then Billy Crystal. Fucking Billy Crystal. God damn it, Billy Crystal.
Well, we'll get to Billy Crystal later.
Billy Crystal. My goodness.
And to be fair, big Billy Crystal fan in terms of movies. I mean, I'm even a defender of City Slickers 2, The Search for Curly's Gold. But, nah, man. Him on SNL, I just can't abide.
And I promise you, if you do watch any other episode of Season 10 from Saturday Night Live, Billy Crystal's going to be doing something problematic. Like,
is he in blackface in, like, every fucking episode?
Like, at least every, like, the majority of them, at least, he is in blackface.
And you were even like, well, yeah, but Sammy Davis Jr. liked his approach. Fuck, I don't care. I don't care. Sammy Davis Jr. is not the arbiter of what's racist and what isn't. Because right. He was at the Rat Pack where, like, the whole thing was, let's fucking make fun of the black guy.
I mean, yes.
I don't take that as a defense.
Different time, all of that jazz. But, yeah, man, it's just weird that Billy Crystal was in blackface a lot. And then in this cold open is just random celebrity impressions. That's all it is.
Which,
that's all it's based
they
on.
They do that a lot. They do the thing with the auditions
yes.
now.
Back to the Future, Star Wars auditions.
You know, and I don't mind them, but I think they're kind of, they're annoying to me because it's so obvious that that's all they're doing.
What?
They just go, hey, who's got an impression of somebody? You're in a Jurassic Park thing.
Right, but it's kind of fun in that way, like, Gary Kroger plays Alan Alda in this one, but Bill Hader's Alan Alda was one where he just had that impression, and like, when he called exactly. for an Alan Alda yeah. impression. So he's like, oh, I do a great Alan Alda. Oh, we'll do it in this one.
That's always struck me as just kind of, I don't know, crass, like, you know.
It's cheap, but it's funny.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it. But I do have a problem with Billy Crystal.
Playing the guy from The Killing Fields.
Hey, Billy. Martin Short, you're going to be Robin Williams? I love your Robin Williams impression.
Yeah, not a bad Robin Williams impression.
Gary,
I would say that.
Gary, that's a great Alan Alda. You'll be Alan Alda in the cold open. Mary Gross, who do you... You're working on a Pee-wee Herman? Put her in the cold open. Billy,
not a good Pee-wee Herman impression.
Billy, out of any celebrity in the world, who would you like to play? How about Dr. Hang S. Nyor? The guy who survived the fucking Cambodian death fields?
With first-time Oscar winner Dr. Hang S. Nor, fresh from The Killing Fields as the Egyptian.
This really happened. This is my story. I lived this.
How about I play that guy, and I just go, hello, I'm a Dr. Hang. No, dude, you can't fucking do that.
Is there any world in which that is relevant in some context that we just don't understand?
He would have, like, just won an Oscar. So he would have, like, been in
sure,
the news.
But is that it? Is that yeah. all? Like, God.
Physically.
Like, there's no other connection somehow. Like, maybe he was on another thing.
I don't
on
think MS- so.
On NBC or something.
No, he would have just won an Oscar. So he would have been, like, at the height of his celebrity. But still, he's Dr. Hang S. Nyor. You don't have another impression in your back pocket, Billy Crystal?
We know he has several, just the problem is they all require
they're all
blackface.
Black guys. I can do anybody as long as they're not white. I just can't nail the white voice.
Look, I can do...
Oh no, I can do old white Jews. That's what I can do too.
But only in a Native American headdress. Jesus Christ.
But before we get off the cold open, Rich Hall is Doug Henning as Jesus.
And Doug Henning as Jesus.
For if they truly believe in me, the water will be as wine. Thank you.
No, that made me laugh.
That, as soon as that happened, I was like, fuck, I'm in. Give me some good shit, old ass episode of SNL. I saw Rich Hall as Doug Henning as Jesus.
And I was going to say that Rich Hall might have been the MVP of the episode, because I liked him in that, and I also liked him later on in the Superman audition sketch.
Yeah.
The more I watch this episode, is it possible that Jim Belushi is the MVP of this episode?
I think this was a solid episode for everybody.
Except Martin Short, because I want to get to that sketch when we get to that. I did not appreciate that at all.
Oh, man. But Christopher Guest had some good shit. And the reason we picked this episode, Gary Kroger. This is a good episode for Gary Kroger. I thought he was great in the Superman sketch, too.
Yeah.
And, he was the Amish guy at the end in that sketch I liked. But yeah, we get into our monologue. Host Christopher Reeve. This, I don't understand.
Well, it was Easter, I guess.
Yeah. He's dressed as the Easter Bunny, and then he shows pictures of, like, his,
well, we talked about that. I mean, it's a step up from fucking Malcolm McDowell.
Oh, yeah.
But here's what I'll say about Christopher Reeve before we get going. Because, again, he's in very little of the episode, and he plays Superman in, like,
two sketches.
Two of the three sketches he's in. And, like, I don't know, he's perfectly charming and affable. I just don't think he's that funny, but I think everybody, including him, understood that.
Yes, he plays the straight man in most sketches, yeah. And I think he works in that.
He's fine for what he's doing, but I think they clearly knew they couldn't get a lot out of him as far as comedy.
Oh, yeah, but he's coming at every sketch like an actor, so he's not like...
Yeah, you know. He seems game for it.
Yes, that's the difference. There are... SNL is peppered with so many hosts who just aren't fucking funny. But if they just know they aren't funny and they're just like, well, I'm just gonna act this and do the best I can,
yeah,
then they succeed. It's when they're like, hey, it's like fucking Robert De Niro when he hosts. He's like, hey, I'm not funny, but I can read these cue cards, right?
I don't know. I think he thinks he is funny. Yeah. I think that's the tragedy of Robert De Niro, yeah, is that he thinks he's funny.
That's sad. But yeah, this the monologue, it's typical with old-ass SNL. Most of the monologues weren't high concept. Every now and then you'd get one, but most of the time it was just the host going, hey, how we doing?
But I don't remember the last, any time other than this, where the monologue literally turned into a sketch.
That was so cool.
I don't know if I liked it or hated it or what, but it just seemed weird.
I loved that, because it was just, I love when SNL does things out of the ordinary, where I'm like, whoa, I've never fucking seen that before. During his monologue, he's like, oh yeah, people always ask me how I became Superman. Well, let's find out. And then he just walks off the fucking set and into the next sketch. He's like, yeah, this is how I became Superman. So yeah, we go right into our first sketch. So already this episode just has a good fucking flow to it, too. The cold open had me laughing. Monologue, just, we're not wasting any goddamn time here.
But this is a sketch where, I don't know, it took a little longer than I think it should have to get going in terms of what the premise ultimately was. Like, it seemed like there was a lot of setup to the joke. And the joke wasn't, I mean, it was fine, and I liked some of the ways that it kind of went, but I don't know, by the end of it, I was just like, we could have gotten this in half the time. We didn't need all that.
Yeah, but I wasn't bored throughout any of this.
But anytime I'm waiting for them to get to, like, okay, what's the joke going to be? What's the joke going to be? That's just time I feel like I'm wasting.
Well, I don't, yeah. Well, this is a different sketch. It's not like kind of one of them, you're waiting for the end punchline. It's just like they kind of repeat the same basic gag three or four
times.
That's
the thing. And then once they establish halfway through the sketch what the sketch is, then it's just constantly reiterating the same thing.
You kind of get the idea. But I will also argue that I think the performances in this sketch are good. We're talking about Superman auditions. And the premise of this sketch, if you haven't seen it, is Christopher Reeve is auditioning for Superman.
If you haven't seen it. For the few people that haven't seen the Christopher Reeve fucking season 10, episode 16...
Somewhere out there, there's a big fucking SNL nerd like me who's like, I've been waiting for someone to talk about that fucking Christopher Reeve episode. That was a solid one.
I've been waiting for that. I've been waiting through these assholes watching fucking Out of Bounds and the Dukes of Hazzard. But finally, they're talking about SNL.
Oh, so this guy, in my hypothetical scenario, it was a guy who just like stumbled upon our podcast because of Christopher Reeve. In your scenario, this guy's listened to our entire back catalog.
No, here's my
thing.
And
he's just pissed that we haven't talked about the Christopher Reeve episode yet.
I'm thinking this guy, he listened to the first couple episodes where we did recap the show, and then we stopped doing that, and he's like, well, they're going to get back to the show eventually. And he's been hate listening to it ever since. Like, when are they going to fucking talk about shows again? And now finally he's like, well, I guess they do sometimes, so I guess I'll keep listening to it. And now finally it's like, my favorite episode from my favorite season.
Well, if you were that guy, congratulations on one, being really weird. And two, getting your mind blown because we referenced
him. He's also got a shrine to both of us because he's plotting our deaths. But, you know, that's a completely... So he's got a podcast about that.
Do people hate listen to podcasts?
There's one podcast that I hate listen to. Mm. It's called Batman v Superman by the Minute. And it's a podcast where two Batman v Superman fanboys watch 1 minute of Batman v Superman and then record a half hour podcast about it.
Oh my goodness.
I know, it's the craziest fucking thing in the world.
That sounds terrible.
It is, and I hate listening to every episode.
Oh, my goodness. There is a couple podcasts out there, but yeah, I just like hitting that unsubscribe on a podcast you like never fucking listen to, but you keep downloading is just like, yeah, fuck that shit. Like, I don't know. Nobody knows that I unsubscribe, but I do get kind of this like, fuck, I never have to like see you in my downloads ever again.
I have the opposite. Like, well, because I don't go through iTunes. I don't download them, but I have the latest, the thing to subscribe to them. And I have like 20, 25 podcasts. I listen to 5 maybe on the regular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, hitting that unsubscribe, I'm just like, ooh, fuck yeah.
But yeah, this fucking Superman audition sketch.
Oh yeah, back to what we were talking about. So Christopher Reeve is auditioning with Rich Hall and Gary Kroger. And then the joke of the sketch is they are expected to do all the Superman things that Superman does in the movie, like catch bullets with their teeth and turn a lump of coal into a diamond and set things on fire with their heat ray vision.
This is where the mugger shoots Clark Kent and he catches the bullet in his teeth. Chris, would you like to start? Ready? Action.
Careful, Clark. He has a gun.
Stand back, Lois. I'll protect you. Broke the window.
Mr. Donner?
What?
I'm really sorry about that. It bounced off my teeth. But I know that I can do this. Could I try again?
All right. Come on here. I'll protect you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Action.
I'm sorry.
Two windows.
Mr. Donner, see, that one bounced off my chin. Yes. Listen, I know I can do this. Look. I was practicing with my roommate all day. I caught it every time. I know I can do this.
Look, Chris, you're probably just a little nervous. Why don't you just sit down, okay?
Sure.
Okay, Peter, are you ready? And action.
Careful, Clark. He has a gun.
Stand back, Lois. I'll protect you. Very nice work. Where did you train?
New York, Stellar Adler.
Very good.
Which, I mean, an actual fucking live fire stunt. I'll give him that.
Oh, yeah. That was good. And then I liked, you said the sketch was too long, but they used that time to kind of set up everybody's little character. Because you got Gary Kroger, and he's like the fucking go-getter brown noser, you know, who's like going up to Richard Donner, played by Jim Belushi here, and going like, I love your work. And then you got Rich Hall, who's just kind of like the casual, like, oh, yeah. My heat ray vision, you know, whatever. And then you got Christopher Reeve, who's like this, you know...
He keeps fucking it up.
...talented actor who just can't fucking nail the... Yeah, he misses the bullet. What is he?
He sets the curtain on fire instead of the phone. Yeah. But he does have heat ray vision, because everybody does in this universe.
That's fucking funny. So he does have heat ray vision. He's just got bad aim. Yeah. And Richard Donner's looking for the best Superman.
Instead of getting the diamond out of the coal, he liquefies it because he crushes it at the wrong angle.
Yeah, but yeah. I loved fucking Rich Hall in this. Where he's just like, oh, hey, I got you. I'll take the fucking lump of coal, squeeze it. There you go. Now it's a diamond. The way he catches the bullet, just like real fucking flashy. I watched that back to like see how he did it.
I think he just put it in his head. In his mouth,
well, because
it?
Like he turned his back and then the bullet was... I mean, it's not like a fucking David Copperfield trick. But, like, you see Rich Hall, and then he turns his head, and then he comes back, he's got the bullet in between his teeth. But it was, like, perfectly centered in his teeth. So I was like, fucking nailing that live, man. That's pretty cool. When you think about this fucking live show, and they set the fucking curtains on fire.
I will say that, because, again, when I say, like, I think I liked this episode about as much as I can from an episode of this era, I don't think I met it. So much of it just feels like... I don't know, like we talked about a couple episodes ago, the Rock sketch with the molesting robot. Mm-hmm. They're never going to do something like that in this era of the show. Mm-hmm. And their level of, like...
Oh, so you don't think the show is as... well, yeah, this was kind of a tame era for SNL.
Because that's the thing, I mean, I don't know.
Like, edgy-wise, if you're talking about that.
I don't know, I mean, I want to... Whenever I'm watching these sketches, I want another level. There's only one sketch, it's one of the last sketches of the episode, that actually got to that level for me.
I think this one did. This was a classic sketch for me, the Superman auditions.
I mean, it's fine. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I didn't hate it by any means. But I don't know. It didn't get off the ground for me that much.
And fucking Jim Belushi's so good in this sketch, too.
Jim Belushi's good in this whole episode. I'll say that.
He was on tonight. I mean, I'm not going to say Jim Belushi was great on SNL. He sucked for the majority of the time. But he had an on. Everybody was on tonight. I don't. Well, it was just.
Can I just say?
It was weird,
I mean,
watching the for me for the performances of this episode, I was like, "Fuck, that's so good."
The Belushi-ness of it all, because we've gone back and forth with me, getting the wrong Belushi all the time. I mean, we'd have to watch more episodes to really get this, but I'm not a big John Belushi on SNL fan. I mean, I'm almost to the point where I would say, like, I probably appreciate Jim Belushi on SNL more. He's more of an everyman, John Belushi, I don't know, there's always, like, kind of an impenetrable, like he wants to be like Bukowski kind of quality to him. Whereas Jim Belushi just seems like a regular dude trying to be a comedian.
I think that used to be like the wrong opinion to have. But I think now there's been so much time since like Belushi's death. I think people are now coming around on that side of the argument and going like, was this guy like really that great?
And I'm even saying, like, movies. Like, I don't think he was that great in, like, Animal House or Neighbors or Blues Brothers or any of that stuff. Well, he wasn't bad, but, like, I don't see the hype.
I will argue, I think when it comes to him being funny, he is overhyped. But when it comes to him being a performer,
I
think that he was a very talented performer.
No, he certainly, and he had an intensity that I think it was probably underutilized ultimately because of so many stuff, so much of the expectation that he'd be funny. I think had he done like the Bill Murray and Razor's Edge kind of thing, and had he not died, and had he done like a serious turn, or at least more of a serious turn, I think that was a Continental Divide. Wasn't that more of a serious movie?
It was like a light romantic comedy still.
Well, but like if he'd had the chance to do that kind of movie, like the Razor's Edge kind of thing, I think it would have turned out really well for him.
Yeah. No, I think he's a really great performer. And I mean, just his physical performance, too. I mean, watching him perform physical comedy was like, shit, that guy's awesome. But I never found him that funny.
Alternatively, Jim Belushi, whereas...
is the greatest comedian who's ever lived.
Obviously, yeah. No, but like, I couldn't say the same for him as far as like possibly being a dramatic actor. I mean, he's been in dramatic stuff. I mean, I'm sure, like, I probably, if I watch The Principal, I might even be into that, you know? Something like that.
It's a possibility.
I'm not completely getting rid of the possibility that I could appreciate him in a dramatic role, Homer and Eddie notwithstanding. But as a comedian, he seems to fit in more comic scenarios. Like he seems to he doesn't take me out of things as much as John Belushi does.
Right. I mean, Jim Belushi can be a good character actor. I do like when he shows up in Twin Peaks season 3. He just was in a couple episodes of that, but I was like, Jim Belushi fits right in. No, I think he's a decent performer. I think the hatred of Jim Belushi is overhyped.
Yes.
And the love of John Belushi is also overhyped.
Well, part of
we
it
need
is...
to, like, bring them to, like, the equal footing, and we go, John and Jim Belushi? Kind of the same fucking thing.
I think a lot of it is, according to Jim, was, like, the prototypical dumb sitcom,
right.
And it literally had his name in it, so he kind of got associated with, like, hey, you hate all of those Kevin James shows? Well, he's in the ultimate Kevin James show, and he's not Kevin James. But, yeah, I don't know. I this episode, I feel like, sold me on Jim Belushi more than...
Oh, yeah, he was
more than most
things. He was pretty awesome this episode. We get a guest performance from Stephen Wright, which we don't have to talk about.
I have a map of the United States. It's actual size. Says 1 mile equals 1 mile. I spent the day watching live animation. Later, I was arrested for scalping low numbers at the deli. I was once walking through the forest alone, and a tree fell right in front of me, and I didn't hear it.
I feel like this is, I feel like an idiot. Because this is the first time I really, like, kind of picked up on the meta irony of Stephen Wright's whole thing. That, like, he's doing, like, a deconstruction of old hacky bits.
Is he?
I think so. Because that's, like, the idea is, like, he just does one-liners. But he does them in this dry, emotionless tone. Mm-hmm. But he's basically doing just a smarter version of, like, the kind of act that you'd see in, like, the 50s and 60s. Like, just, you know... snappy little things that are like he's not conceptual, but the concept is that it's not conceptual.
Oh. Kind of.
It's like I don't know. It's more deconstructive than I ever gave him credit for.
But do you think that's an intentional thing on his part?
I feel like it must be. Or is he just...
I don't know, because
he's just doing that.
You see him kind of interviewed, and he is just kind of like dry and kind of naturally monotone voice. I mean, some guys just have naturally monotone voices.
Well, no, I think that, I mean, I think that also is him, but I think he understands that for him to do those kind of jokes in that tone is kind of a commentary on old style comedy.
Maybe
I'm just putting too much into it, but that's, I felt that when I watched that, and I never put that together before, but maybe I'm just overthinking it.
But after Stephen Wright, we get another good sketch. What are you talking about this?
Okay.
You didn't like this one?
Here's the thing with this sketch. Again, this is in fact, I think, where I wrote, is Jim Belushi the MVP of this episode?
Yeah, let's set it up for the people at home first.
But that's the thing. Explain the premise of this sketch to me, because other than he's a dumb guy.
It's a little all over the place.
This is what I didn't like about the sketch.
Oh, no, I liked
it. It feels like it's like three different sketches that happen to be set in World War II.
Yeah.
You have the sarcastic guy who's too sarcastic. You have the dumb guy who's doing the, it's so crazy it just might work, and extrapolating that. And then, I don't know, it just seemed like a lot of things melted together.
But they were all still kind of funny. I mean, yeah, it didn't really come together like you're expecting all of this shit to come together. But, again, to just set it up. So, it's World War II. A bunch of American soldiers are hiding in Germany. And then Jim Belushi is kind of the commander, and he's like, okay, we need ideas to get out of here. Gary Kroger, again, one of my fucking favorite cast members, Gary Kroger, says, hey, I found these nun costumes. We could go walk out there and pretend we're nuns.
I found this pile of nuns' habits by the altar. Now, I was thinking, Sarge, if we put them on and pulled the hoods over our faces, and Saunders here, he's got a high voice and he speaks French, just maybe we can walk right through the German lines passing as stray nuns.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but it's so crazy it just might work.
Oh, fine. That's just fine. That's a hell of a criteria. It's so crazy it just might work. Good thinking, Sarge. Good thinking. In fact, why don't we just put on a nun's habit? Stick loaves of French bread in our mouths and hope the Germans will think we're penguins. Hey, that's so crazy, it has to work.
I think you got something there, Saunders.
That's right, I do. It's called sarcasm, Sarge, you pinhead. If you like the penguin thing, why don't you try this? Tell the Germans that your brain is so small that the Smithsonian wants to put it on display in Washington right away. That's absolutely insane. So naturally, it's gotta work, right?
Now, just hold on a second there, mister. These are all good ideas.
And then he thinks Christopher Reeve... there's a lot of shit. Because then he thinks Christopher Reeve is a German spy. And he tests him by asking him who starred in Gone with the Wind. Christopher Reeve knows everything about Gone with the Wind except Clark Gable's name. And then he shoots him for thinking it's Cary Grant.
I feel like these are three different premises that could have each worked individually as a sketch, and they just put them all three into one sketch.
But it still worked for me. Like when
I need a tight premise. I need to be able to say this is what this sketch is about. If I can't, if it's all over the place, it's ruined for me.
Well, also, I think back in this era of SNL, they really couldn't afford to do a whole lot of sketches because of like the set design. Because if you look at the set design of a lot of these sketches, like, this World War II sketch is, like, got a fucking great set to it.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm wondering if they were like, you need to come up with, like, at least a 7 or 8 minute sketch to make this set worth it. So, okay, throw in some more crazy World War II ideas. Because then, like, a German soldier comes in, drops his bayonet, and then Jim Belushi orders, I think, Rich Hall to jump on the bayonet.
Again,
it's all stupid shit, but it's all funny.
But that's the thing, when it's all over the place... It's just, I don't know. This needed more streamlining.
I think this was just jokes.
Andy Rogers Jr., $100,000 jackpot!
And here's the man of the half hour, Jackie Rogers Jr.
Everyone's a winner. Given half a chance, Satan sinners love to fill their pants with loot from Uncle Sammy's treasure chest. If you work hard, on Jackie Rogers Jr. $100,000 jackpot.
So So wait a minute.
What, am I going to say that the next sketch was garbage? Yes, I am.
Are you going to tell me that you didn't like Jackie Rogers Jr.'s $100,000 jackpot wad?
Okay, here's what I will say. I liked Jim Belushi in this sketch.
I love Jim Belushi in this sketch.
And I liked Christopher Guest in this sketch.
Loved Christopher Guest in this sketch.
He was playing.
Raji Vindaloo?
I could not key into this character at all. I know he's a recurring character, but I have no fucking idea why, what the efficacy of this is. I know.
But the thing is, you're never going to know. It's just stupidity. Like, there's no, like, book to tell you the backstory of Jackie Rogers Jr. He's just, like, a Martin Short creation.
I get it, but, like, the lying lawyer character, I get it. I didn't necessarily like it that much, but I got it. Is he like Edgar Winter's long-lost sibling or something?
He's an albino man, and his dad was like a celebrity, and he's Jackie Rogers Jr. So I think it's some kind of weird joke on like celebrity culture in general, like how Jackie Rogers Jr. is famous basically just for being Jackie Rogers Jr. He's a man of no discernible talent or skill. But he still, like, shows up on talk shows all the time.
I feel like there's a better way to articulate that joke than whatever the fuck this sketch was. This could have been any host.
Oh, yeah. Because the joke of this sketch, this is another one that's kind of a lot of things jam-packed. And it's a longer sketch, but if it's going to be a longer sketch, I want a fucking ton of jokes. I don't want one joke repeated. This sketch has, like, peaks and valleys and ebbs and flows that I love. And the joke isn't about Jackie Rogers Jr. It's not even about the game. It's just, it's just a game show parody. A parody of a weird-ass game show.
And that's another thing that I have to account for is that this is the era of game shows. Whereas it's not. I mean, I guess it kind of came back a little bit. And now, but like this kind of game show, like Dad watches these all the time on the fucking Game Show Network.
Oh yeah, I love the Game Show Network.
But I'm not into that. It's not something that I really give a shit about.
Well, this is the game is basically just Password. And yeah. I think he says that in the opening. He's like, it's like Password, but different. But it's like exactly like Password. And then you got Jim Belushi as Captain Kangaroo. I don't know if this was based on anything, but I thought this was all hilarious.
No, his whole thing of just like, I am Captain Kangaroo and I really need money. And I'm really secretly angry inside. Like, that's a perfect fucking... I mean, not that Captain Kangaroo was that. I don't know, but...
No, that's what... I'm wondering if this was, like, based on something that came out. Like, oh, Captain Kangaroo's really a drunk. Or if this was just Jim Belushi going, this is my take on Captain Kangaroo.
Either way, I think it works.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, when you're a celebrity on these game shows, you don't win the money.
Yeah.
But Jim Belushi's like, oh, God damn it! How's that gonna pay for my mortgage?
Okay. This is a funny guy. He wears a red nose and big shoes.
A clown!
Right. Okay. These people work above the crowd. They swing from a bar.
Monkey!
No, they're people. They swing from a bar. They use a net. They wear tights.
I don't know.
Next one. Okay. This man introduces all the acts. He dresses in red.
A clown!
He introduces the acts! Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, top hat, microphone.
I don't know. I can't think of anything.
He introduces the acts!
I don't know.
Go on to the next one! Okay. It's the king of the jungle. It's like a big cat. A man puts his head inside its mouth.
I don't know.
It's a lion! It's a lion! What the hell's the matter with you?
But this is where I wrote, I think I hate Martin Short.
Oh my goodness. No.
And fucking Angelique is his girlfriend? Is that the actual Angelique?
No, that's Pamela Stephenson.
No, I know. I mean, is she playing the billboard lady?
Oh, I have no idea.
Because there's a famous lady, and I think she lives in LA. I think she's still alive. Where she was like famous just for being famous.
Yeah.
She bought a billboard of herself. Mm-hmm. I think her name was Angelique. Isn't that the same person? Or supposed to be the same person?
I don't know.
Huh.
I do not know. But yeah, no, that's the same kind of thing. I think that's what the joke of Jackie Rogers Jr. is just these people who are famous for being famous.
If that's helping to explain that joke, and he's also girlfriend with Angelique.
Yeah.
No, Angelique.
Yeah, because she just bought a billboard of herself.
Yeah.
And then would just walk around and like pose for pictures with people.
Yeah.
Like just a self-made famous celebrity, which is just bizarre.
And then at least it was at the time. Now it's de rigueur. It's,
I know, that's weird. When the Masked Singer revealed a fucking YouTube star, that's when I was like, shit.
You watched The Masked Singer too?
Of course I watched The Masked Singer.
It's my favorite show.
Oh, yeah. No, but yeah, when it's
you mean Ninja, the fucking gamer guy? And I'm I was like, who the fuck is that?
You can be a YouTube star? And who would have fucking guessed that? Honestly.
You'd have to know who Ninja was before that. I didn't fucking...
You are not a celebrity. All right. You were Jackie... It should have been Jackie Rogers Jr. Who's under that panda mask? It's me, Jackie Rogers Jr.
So here we got two instances of blackface in the same sketch. One an actual black guy, one an Indian guy. I think he's supposed to be... Yeah, Vindaloo. He's an Indian guy.
So Christopher Guest... problematic playing an Indian character for basically for laughs. And then Billy Crystal, whoo man, is he really dark as Sammy Davis Jr.
I feel like this is the blackest blackface we've seen Billy Crystal. Because I think I've seen him do this in less black blackface before.
No, it's crazy.
In fact, I think I've seen him do it basically just with him, just with the, like, with almost without blackface. Yeah. Like maybe just a little tan.
The farther we get away from it, the crazier it looks. I remember being a kid going like, that's weird. Like, not thinking it was racist when I was a kid, because, you know, you just need to learn that concept. But thinking it was weird that, like, a white guy would play a black guy.
Yeah.
Like, why would you, like, why would you do that? Like, what, a black guy could have done that, right?
Well, but again, they don't have a black male cast member.
Exactly,
anymore.
Yeah, it's true. But no, I just remember thinking that as a kid. Like, why do white people play black people? Like... That, like, that concept didn't make sense to me. Like,
that's a weird... my writing partner, Nate, and I were writing a movie called Red-Blooded American. It's about Donald Trump, and you find out he's secretly a cannibal. Mm-hmm. And at one point, they find a secret underground tunnel that's called the Hall of Presidential Depravity, where it's, like, portraits of all the fucked-up thing every president was into. And then when they get to Obama, it's him wiping off his black makeup to reveal he's been secretly white the whole time.
That's fucked up. As is this sketch.
Well, Ronald Reagan is riding a black person like a horse wearing a cowboy hat.
That's fucked
up.
And
Jimmy Carter, he's on all fours and he's got a funnel and they're pouring peanuts into his ass. And then they go, well, that's not that bad compared to Ronald Reagan riding a black person. They go, oh no, his was too convoluted. You got to go to the next portrait. And then it's him on the Oval Office and he's got a bowl of peanuts. It says free peanuts. Anyway, that's what we're writing now.
that's problematic, as is Jackie Rogers Jr.'s $100,000 jackpot wad, because we get Billy Crystal and Sammy Davis Jr. giving clues to Christopher Guest as this Indian man who's also gotta be homosexual, I guess.
And Vindaloo is a famous Indian dish. So the idea that you named an Indian character Vindaloo, on top of just playing an Indian character when you're a white guy, is so fucked up. I did like one joke where he goes, and this thing, and he just goes, chocolate babies?
Chocolate babies?
He doesn't even give a clue.
Okay, this is the thing you eat at the movies. It comes in kernels. You heat them up in oil.
Popcorn.
Right. This is a little hot, spicy number.
Rita Moreno.
No, babe. It comes from a cucumber. They let it sit in a barrel with its brother till it becomes something else.
A caterpillar.
Let's move on. This is an après dinner kind of thing. Dessert, three layers, icing on top.
Djibouti.
No, babe. Say you're in heaven. You're flying around. You got a little halo. You're...
dead.
Yeah, but you did a lot of good stuff. You're...
bled.
Yeah, but you got the wings, the halo. You're going from cloud to cloud.
I don't know. What is it?
Next. This is...
chocolate babies?
Right.
Very good. Very good. This is good.
All right, this is a long shaft kind of thing with a tip on the end. Next.
And I think one of you just flat out described a penis.
It was asparagus. Okay, this is a long thing with a point on the end. And Christopher just goes, ooh, just looks at him like he's been a bad boy.
Right.
And then it ends with you just spinning around in a big fucking circle on a giant wheel. Like, this is just crazy ass shit.
Yeah.
How did she not enjoy this?
Okay, the only other thing I have with this sketch, can I talk about Mary Gross for a second?
Oh, you could talk about Mary Gross for hours and hours on end.
I don't think I can, because my point about Mary Gross is I feel like she's one thing, and then that's... And I think her name is Mary Gross, like that's a stage name, because she was like, I have this expression where I'm kind of grossed out and embarrassed by everything, and that's it. That's my entire fucking act.
I mean, she could do other stuff, but she went to this well a lot. I mean, Belushi goes to the screaming well a lot. Martin Short goes to the crazy character well. Billy Crystal goes to the black well. Mary Gross goes to the frazzled, you know.
I don't know. I feel like Jim Belushi had more range. Same with Billy Crystal and Martin Short. I'd never seen her do anything other than this character.
She's always kind of tightly wound. Yeah. She plays to her strengths. But I will stand up for Mary Gross. I think Mary Gross is great. And I always kind of had a little crush on Mary Gross, too.
But this is coming from the person who's like, we got to watch Fids because of Mary Gross. And then every time it comes up, we're like, let's not watch Fids.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did watch Fids. It ain't good.
Oh, you watched the whole movie?
I watched like 20 minutes of it, and I was like, yeah, this ain't good.
There's one other thing I wanted to talk about in this sketch before we go on. At one point when Billy Crystal, who, remember, is in blackface, is talking to the other character in blackface, the clue is bagels, and he says, my people's favorite thing.
Well, because he's also Jewish.
And so is Billy Crystal. Yeah. And I'm just like, I don't know. It's just that, because it's not technically not racist, and also kind of racist at the same time. And he's in blackface while he's saying it. It's like a racism turducken. It's like raceception.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It was a different time, but yeah, you can't really defend it, you know? You really can't, when it's so, so many times. Like I said, we could pick a random episode of season 10. Dollars to Donuts, Billy Crystal is in blackface.
And that's fucked up.
Yeah.
It's so fucked up.
It's crazy. And then speaking of Billy Crystal, our next sketch is the Palisades Nursing Home.
Oh, this was the worst sketch of the episode.
Yes, this was the worst sketch of the episode. It wasn't terrible, but it was long.
And it's another one where conceptually I just did not get it at all. Like,
yeah.
The idea is that he's Superman, but he's in an old folks' home?
Christopher Reeve is playing an old Superman who we find out became mortal through pollution. He was hit by acid rain and then he started aging. So now he's in the old folks' home and he's just talking about his life to old-ass Jew Billy Crystal.
Look, among those bullets, if you're Superman, what are you doing here in this old folks' home?
I know that's true. Nobody believes me. They think that Superman couldn't get old, but it's not true. You see, the Earth's atmosphere began to change. Too many nuclear tests. I was caught in an acid rainstorm, and it changed my molecular structure. I began to lose my powers. It was about 20 years ago, when I first began to notice I was getting older.
Same with me. 20 years ago, I said, ooh, that's a beautiful tan. It was liver spots.
Where is this, like, in the writer's room? Like, did he pitch this? And they were like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Because the acid rain thing reminds me of Superman 4.
Which would have been around this time.
Was this that late?
This might have been what... This was 85.
Wow.
Superman 3 was 83, I think?
Because the thing with Superman 4 is he almost didn't want to do it. He didn't want to come back for it.
Yeah.
But they let him... that's why it has, like, an environmentalist message of, like, getting rid of all the nukes and shit. Because that was his big thing. And this has that as, like, the thing that turns it, that, like, turns Superman mortal, acid rain.
Yeah.
I wonder if this was, like, something he pitched, like, let's have an environmentalist message in a sketch. And they're like, no, that'll make it the worst sketch ever. It's like, yeah, but I'm the host, so fuck you. And it's like, now we have to do this. And it sucks.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure Billy Crystal jumped at the chance to
play
trot out
Jewish
his old
man?
Jewish man character. Yeah, he loved these characters.
And this was not funny at all.
No, it was also slow. And I mean, purposefully slow. They're both playing old men, and they're just like, talking very slow and old to each other. And, you know, they're forgetting things and they're mishearing things. That's part of the joke. And then that just all adds to, like, just slow. And yeah, it's just, it was kind of a bummer to watch.
And the fact that this is the only other thing that Christopher Reeve is in this entire episode.
Yeah. Yeah, he disappears after this.
Like, it was the monologue, which technically turns into a sketch, and then this.
And then he was in the German soldier one.
Oh, in the German soldier one. One of the three sketches you were in is just fucking just prattling on.
Yeah. And I mean, that was the norm for this era, too. The host was probably usually in three sketches per show.
And you say you like that better. I don't.
I do.
I want better hosts. I want hosts that feel like... Like, we've always talked about David Alan Greer when he hosted. Yeah. Like, he felt like a cast member. I want more hosts like that.
Oh, yeah.
But I want them in every sketch.
Oh, no. Certain hosts, yes. Certain hosts, why? What would Christopher Reeve add to Jackie Rogers Jr.'s $100,000 jackpot wallet?
But this is where I would argue, don't have Christopher Reeve as a host. Because he's not fucking funny.
Well...
Why bother having somebody on Saturday Night Live if they're not fucking funny?
I know. And that is the fundamental question with Saturday Night Live, is they have these hosts, but, like... Some people aren't going to be fucking good. Like, J.J. Watt, the fucking linebacker for the Minnesota Vikings or something, was host a couple weeks ago. You know that's going to be a big flaming pile of shit.
I feel like with the sports guys, they're looking for, like... Remember when LeBron James showed up in that Amy Schumer movie?
Yeah.
And, like, everyone's like, oh, wow, LeBron James is really fun. I think, and of course, like, a lot of wrestlers, like The Rock and John Cena can be funny. And I feel like they're waiting for, like, that breakout. They're trying to, like, keep testing, like, what if J.C. Watts or whatever, J.J. Yeah. Watts or whatever is funny. I imagine he wasn't.
But he was not.
I think they're always looking for that next great crossover for some reason.
Yeah. But, like, some people you know, like, right off the bat, like, when, like, Aziz Ansari or, like, Kumail Nanjiani hosted for the first time, I was like, oh, fucking finally, you get it? You put a funny guy up there.
In fact, that's another one. One of my favorite sketches of the recent years was Aziz Ansari, The Lawyers. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yes, with Bobby Moynihan?
Yeah.
Oh, that was classic. But yeah, like, people like that. And, like, Donald Glover was one where I'm like, oh, yeah. And John Mulaney, like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
You understand. But then they're like, coming up next week, some dickhead from a movie coming out next week. It's like, oh, no, that's going to be so awful.
Yeah.
And you kind of know it is. But yeah, okay. So up next, we got Weekend Update with Christopher Guest. And yeah, this was a good one.
You mean relative to what you are saying is an otherwise not so stellar tenure?
Oh, yes. I was so surprised that this was watchable. Like, Christopher Guest was so bad on Weekend Update. This one worked because they split it up. So it was like jokes. The jokes weren't good. Like, can you remember one of the Christopher Guest jokes?
I remember the being eaten by a jockey joke. Kind of.
Yeah, but that was... Well, you like that?
No, that's the thing. But, like, this was, like, as good as Colin Quinn.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I guess when you get right down to it, he doesn't really have great competition. Where would you put Christopher Guest on the ranking of update anchors? Well, probably somewhere around Charles Rocket, Colin Quinn, Jimmy Fallon. They all fucking suck.
But I don't actively hate him. Like, I hate Dennis Miller, who everybody says is fucking great.
Yeah. But no, you would. If you watched this entire season, you would come away going, oh, Christopher Guest was so bad on Weekend Update. Well, it's actually not Weekend Update. It's Saturday Night News in this era.
Oh, that's weird.
And then you get three desk pieces. This is the only thing I won't stand up for Jim Belushi. This is the hackiest of hack fucking
bits.
Literally,
in my notes, I wrote, never mind on Belushi MVP.
This is like fucking Jay Leno, what's my beef, you know, like... Jim Belushi comes, hey, you know what I hate? The phone company! You know what I do to people at the phone company? I blow an air horn! Brr. That's what I do and I fuck the phone company.
You know, we used to have like the best damn telephone system in the universe. But not anymore. Not since the Trust Busters broke up AT&T. Have you tried calling information lately? I mean, you know, they give you the number. They say the number is 555-1249. And I say thank you to a recording. No, I want to talk to a human being.
Like, hook.
But I feel like that's what most desk pieces are. When they're not highly conceptual.
Yeah.
It always feels like this is where we give our fucking stand-up bits time to shine. They do that with, like, Pete Davidson comes on all the time. And it's clearly just his fucking stand-up act. And I don't have a problem with Pete Davidson as an cast member, but it just seems so fucking cheap and easy to me.
I would much rather see a fucking sketch than watch what he's been working on stand-up-wise this week. I don't know what pisses me off more on Weekend Update. Like, the fact that it exists or the fact that, you know, these fucking bits are so bad. Like, it doesn't feel like news, you know?
No.
It used to be a parody of the news. And the correspondents would be, like, doing news. But now it's just like, and here with a stand-up bit, Pete Davidson. Come on out, do your stand-up.
Yeah, this felt... I mean, at least... Because there's another one coming up with... I guess Paul Harvey
Yeah.
Which I didn't get it, but at least it was a concept. It was Edible Records, which is weird and kind of, I don't know, I kind of appreciated it on like an absurdist level.
Yeah, well, it was, he's campaigning for We Are the World, which is raising money for, you know, to give food to people in Africa.
Yeah.
When he's going to the next step, he's like, well, we're just going to make the record out of pizza.
Yeah.
And we're going to ship that to Africa. That way they can listen to the song and then, you know, eat the record.
Yeah. No, there was enough there that I appreciated it. Certainly more, especially because it came right after Jim Belushi and right before Buddy Young.
Yeah, Buddy Young Jr.
Which, fuck that, so far in its fucking throat. This is the worst thing ever on SNL, right?
Well, I mean, I'll grant you, no, it's not the worst, but it's down there. Buddy Young Jr. is a character that I think is supposed to not be funny. I think this is a bit of, like, anti-humor.
I almost don't want to give it that much credit.
I think that's the point of the character. I think he's supposed to be, like, kind of a bad, you know, Vegas nightclub comedian.
I tell you, it's too nuts, folks. It's too wild out there. And the kid who serves it, I mean, he's a punker, you know? Now you get green hair in your popcorn. It's too wild, I'll tell you. And these music videos are nuts, too. I'll tell you that right now. That Segway cost me $12.50. I'll tell you, they're nuts. When I was a kid, a song was a song, and that was it. Am I right, ladies and gentlemen? What the hell's happening? Now a movie is a song. A song is a movie. They make no sense, these videos. A guy singing a ballad, somebody else is putting a midget in a blender.
I don't think he's supposed to be that funny.
I don't think anti-humor really existed at this point.
Because I think he's only done this one other time on Saturday Night Live, and it was for, like, a comeback tour that Buddy Young Jr. was doing, and he just basically told bad jokes. And then this is also the character from Mr. Saturday Night. So
Actual character?
Mr. Saturday Night, Billy Crystal's movie, is technically an SNL film.
Wow. And did it originate on SNL, or was it like something he did in his act previously? Or
he might have done it before, but no, he was definitely an SNL character before.
Before
the movie. As were the Folksmen from A Mighty Wind. They appeared in this season when Michael McKean hosted.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so A Mighty Wind is technically an SNL movie as well. But then Buddy Young Jr. walks out in the audience and just talks to Larry Bud Melman.
Which I had to, like, write, Larry Bud Melman, question mark? Is that because, like, for some reason I just didn't recognize that it was him right away.
And this all seems ad-libbed, and, like, you can tell, like, Larry Bud Melman doesn't really know what's going on.
Is it possible Larry Bud Melman was just in the audience of SNL?
It is entirely possible. Well, I think he worked for NBC, because he was on Late Night with David Letterman.
Yeah.
And I think that was his bit. He was just a guy who worked at NBC that Dave Letterman thought was funny looking, and so they would just, you know,
so, like, he might have just gone to SNL that day, just...
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, he's in the building.
I get free tickets, you know?
Can I get half off with my employee badge? But yeah, it seems like sloppy and unrehearsed.
What's your name, babe? And don't tell me Perry White, because I'll leave a log here. You know, what's your name, babe?
Calvert DeForest.
What is it?
Calvert DeForest.
Who cares? You know what I'm saying to you? Calvert, people know you. They seem to know you. What's what do you know? You know, people know your different name?
Yeah, Larry Bud Melman.
What do you do, Larry?
Work on a day, Valetta.
Try to cheer up, would you please, Larry? What are you pulling away from me? I'm clean. I took a shower. You know what I'm saying? Oh, it's wild. That herpes, it'll get you nuts. I'll tell you that. You're a good sport, babe. You ready to play the game?
Of course.
And then it's just Billy Crystal telling old ass stale jokes.
Yeah, it's hard for me to give it the credit to say that it was on purpose.
Yeah,
it just feels like it's a shitty bit. And it's shit.
I mean, I think it's half a shitty bit and half intentionally kind of shitty bit.
This is the sketch I unabashedly go.
Oh yeah, and that's our last sketch of the night.
I do want to talk about Santana a little bit, though.
Oh yeah, we can talk about Santana. Because that was a good performance.
Well, here's the thing. I really loved the guitar, like the Santana part. Mm. But then when the people started singing, I was like, that doesn't fit. Like, this was a rockin' song. And then they're like singing like fucking like... I don't know, like, shitty 80s
R&B. Yeah, it was like 80s soft rock.
Yeah.
But then that guy came out and started breakdancing.
Yeah. There's like all the stuff around the singers I loved. But that fucking guitar lick was goddamn great. And then they started singing. It's like, ruined it.
The vocals are the weakest part of the song. But yeah, that guy who's singing, like, then he goes like on the cowbell and starts rocking out on the cowbell. I was like, yeah, you can just stay on the cowbell, man. You don't have to come up to the mic. This can just be an instrumental. But yeah, our last sketch of the night is...
This was the sketch that I unabashedly enjoyed.
Oh, this was so great. This was a talk back. Christopher Guest is interviewing, again, my man Gary Kroger as an Amish man who is upset about the film Witness and how it portrays the Amish.
And going into this sketch, I thought the premise was going to be Christopher Guest was going to, like, accuse the Amish man of, like betraying his... Because, like, how did you watch the movie?
Right, exactly.
You know, like...
That's originally where I thought, too. Where, like, it was going to be something about, like, him being on television in the first place. Like, why would an Amish man be on TV?
Yeah.
But no, the joke is he's upset because the movie Witness didn't have enough horrors in it.
Because it didn't depict the Amish culture appropriately enough. Because apparently the Amish culture is replete with prostitutes.
And he's like, oh, there was one point in the movie where I thought was realistic. When they all gathered together to build the whorehouse. Wait, that was a barn. What? You think they're going to cheer for a barn? No, we build the whorehouse.
And then some of the prostitutes were, or I mean, all the women... We're very flat chested. Whereas you know, on the actual farm, the prostitutes have hooters out to here.
Amish women have hooters out to here. That's the line of the episode, I think.
The most offensive thing to me was the part when the young Amish woman bared her breasts to the English stranger.
Yes, I read that you were very upset with that.
Of course we were. The woman in the film was of normal build. In real life, Amish women have hooters out to here. These are women of German stock.
Wait a minute. Just wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're not Amish at all.
So?
So get off my show. And I mean it. Get out of here right now.
Stupid show.
Just get out of here.
Sorry.
And then it turns out he's not really Amish.
And he finds that out by taking off his beard.
Christopher just rips off the fucking beard. He's like, get out of here! But you're not really Amish.
But then a second Amish person comes in, played by Rich Hall, I believe.
Yeah.
And says, now I'm a real Amish person. And my problem with Witness was that they didn't sell children enough.
And he's like, oh, it's giving the Amish people a bad name when people come to my village to buy our babies.
See, this felt like a sketch that they would do today.
Oh, this was great. This was so silly. And I think a lot of this episode was very, very silly, which was good. This was silly. The Superman sketch was silly. The fucking cold open was silly. The German soldiers thing was silly. Everything was just very silly. Jackie Rogers Jr., exceptionally silly.
No, I will say this was the least worst episode of classic SNL that we've watched so far since we started this experiment. I'm still not willing to say it was good. There was too much that was bad to mediocre. But
really?
But I think this might be the high point. This, I don't think we're going to get better than this.
Okay, so what was the worst sketch for you?
Oh, the worst sketch was Superman and the Old Folks Home.
Okay, that was the worst sketch for me, too. Best sketch for you?
Best sketch was Amish.
The best sketch for me was Jackie Rogers Jr. 100,000.
See, that's fucking ridiculous. Half of that sketch worked for me. The other half did not work at all. It almost took away from the stuff that worked.
That was just consistently hilarious.
Jackie Rogers Jr. as a character makes no sense. No, I'm not on board with that.
Well, so I've actually covered this episode for my blogs. I ended up giving this episode an average of 3.75 out of 5. I'll bump that up to 4 stars. What would you give it on a 5-star scale?
2, maybe?
2? Oh my goodness. What didn't work for you? Okay, so the monologue kind of act. Cold open, you give a yay or a nay?
Ultimately a nay. Yay for fucking Jesus.
Doug Henning as Jesus gets a yay. Jesus. James Mason with the fish gets a yay.
But everything else is like, I don't get.
That's half the sketch, though.
So half the sketch didn't work, so it's a wash.
Turn that to a yay.
I'm saying nay.
Monologue, we can skip. Superman auditions, yay or nay?
Again, went way too long. The half that I liked was out, kind of outweighed by the half I didn't care about.
Definite yay for me. Stephen Wright, just add some like bonus flavor to the episode.
I don't like stand-ups on SNL at all.
Yeah, neither do I, but it's just, you know, it's not bad.
Again, soldier sketch, the good that I saw in it was outweighed by just how all over the place it was. It was just wishy-washy. It didn't know what sketch it wanted to be.
I love that about it. Gets a yay for me. Jackie Rogers Jr. Fucking
again,
stand-up classic.
Again, half good, half terrible. Superman, all terrible.
Superman, nursing home, slow, not terrible. Weekend Update, Belushi, Paul
That's
Harvey, okay, Buddy Young
Best
Junior,
of what
blah.
We've seen of the classic era of Weekend Updates?
Yes, ironically.
But not good.
Because this era for Weekend Update is abysmal. I'm
and then
so surprised.
The only sketch that I just unabashedly loved was the last one, the Amish.
It was the Amish people. All right. Ah, no, this one was way higher up on my list.
Well, that's the thing. Relative to what we've watched, this is easily the best one. And I would say it's even better than the Bieber episode, which, you know, is a modern era sketch that.
Oh, I would definitely say out of the episodes we have watched for this podcast, this is the best one we've watched.
But that's by default, because everything else has sucked ass.
Right, and I was purposely trying to pick a good one, too. Yes. So I guess I succeeded on my level.
At the same time, to say that this is the best, your favorite episode of your favorite season.
Yeah.
And it's not, and it's like barely mediocre.
Not my favorite.
That's saying something.
It's not my favorite episode of all time by any means. But this is my favorite season on just like, I could watch any episode from this season, even a bad one, because they're just like interesting. There's always some kind of like Martin Short thing in there that I'll enjoy. But I mean, every episode of SNL is hit and miss. I don't think there's ever been a perfect episode of SNL in the entire history of the show.
No, but I think, I don't know, my favorite episode is going to be something where like the host was like a particularly like not just game host but funny, like a Louis C.K. episode, or you know, something like that, where I don't know, where I'm keen more into it.
Well, if we get someone who is in the disastrous season 20 again, we'll do the Bob Newhart episode, because that one I think is like as close to perfect as it can be.
Really?
And it's on your standards too. Bob Newhart is consistently, I think he's in every sketch, they're playing to his strengths as Bob Newhart. Yeah. There's one sketch that's like terrible, but everything else is just fucking. That's
Wait,
why
season
it's
20 is that the Anthony Michael Hall?
No, that's the end of the Chris Farley era where everything was just fart and poop and screaming.
Oh, okay.
And like everybody hated it. But no, we will. We definitely got to watch a season 11 episode at one point.
What's season 11?
That's Anthony Michael Hall, Robert Downey Jr.
Have we not watched anything from that season yet?
I don't think so. But speaking of that, I will recommend the Christopher Reeve episode of Saturday Night Live.
I mean, if you've watched all the episodes up to this point that we've talked about, and you're like, wow, why are they even bothering? Maybe watch this and get a little bit out of it.
All right, and so on that note, we will pause this and we will pull a name out of our imaginary hat for next week. All right, and we are back, and we pulled Sherry O'Terry's name out of the hat.
Who is not in a lot, evidently has issues performing, I think, right? Doesn't he have, like, stage fright or something?
Yes, but that didn't stop her from appearing in both Dumb and Dumberer When Harry Met Lloyd and Inspector Gadget.
Which, my vote was for Dumb and Dumberer When Harry Met Lloyd. As much as I don't want to watch the movie, I felt like it would be a more interesting watch for a podcast. But it's not as readily available, apparently, as Inspector Gadget.
I just found Inspector Gadget from a quick search online, so I know I don't have to hunt for it. So that's why we're doing Inspector Gadget. Yeah. Also, I'm voting Inspector Gadget because I'm getting my favorite Martian vibes off of this.
I don't know.
It's either going to be real bad or like so bad it's good.
I feel like it's not going to be any of those things. I think it's just going to be a mediocre Disney movie.
Yeah.
I remember, I think I saw it came out like years ago.
I
don't remember much about it.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's going to be shit in this movie that's like so random and like bad that it'll warrant a good podcast. I think we could probably talk about Dumb and Dumberer When Harry Met Lloyd without ever having to watch the movie.
I just think it's weird that movie, because it's like these two young actors trying to replicate the performances of like two very iconic performances.
Right. We could talk about that without having to watch.
I don't know. Maybe I'll watch that on my own and report back.
Yeah, I have no fucking interest in it. Not like I have a huge vested interest in Inspector Gadget. It's been 20 years, I still haven't caught up with it.
We could always watch Benjamin, the Redbox original film.
Yeah, that's a no goo. So yeah, for the great Sherry O'Terry, it'll be Inspector Gadget next week.
Alright,
Go Gadget Podcast.
Oh, wait, check, just for my own personal edification. There's a straight to video sequel with French Stewart.
Yes, I remember that.
Check to see
that.
If there's anybody in SNL in that movie.
Oh, in Inspector Gadget 2?
Yes.
Well, how do I get there? I don't know. I guess we'll go to Inspector Gadget and Connections.
I feel like it's going to be in the if you liked section, right? Like if you liked Inspector Gadget, you'll like Inspector Gadget 2.
2003, straight to video, Inspector Gadget 2. Is this because you feel like you're going to really like Inspector Gadget and you want to stay in the cinematic universe in case we like it for next week?
Well, I'm just feeling like if there's an SNL person in this, this would be a more interesting thing to watch just because it seems like a shittier movie.
That's true. And we are prone to watching the sequels of films before we watch the original one.
That's the thing, to keep up with the tradition. But it doesn't look like there's anybody in
SNL. It does not look like there's any SNL cast members in Inspector Gadget 2, the French Stewart film from 2003.
Maybe Sherry O'Terry didn't reprise her role as whoever the fuck she was in the first movie.
What if she dies in the first movie? Yes. She's like, I wanted to be on more adventures with you, Gadget!
That's the tragic circumstance that really propels him to go after I think.
Inspector Gadget 2 is just about solving Sherry O'Terry's murder.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll see you then. Until we see you again, get off the shed!
Well, I gotta say, I waited a long time to get up the nerve to host this show, and having done it, it was a complete kick in the butt. So I think I'm gonna keep my day job, though. But we'd like to thank our great musical guest, Santana.
Yeah!
And thank you.